The Sea Fairies by L. Frank Baum, Chapter 14, Captain Joe and Captain Bill. The room Zog had given his prisoners were as handsome as all other parts of the strange enchanted castle. Gold was used plentifully in the decorations, and in the rose chamber occupied by the mermaids and Trot, gold and roses formed a border around the entire room. The sea maidens had evidently been expected, for the magician had provided couches for them to recline upon, similar to the ones used in the mermaids' palaces. The frames were of mother-of-pearl, and the cushions of soft white sponges. In the room were toilet tables, mirrors, ornaments, and many articles used by earth people, which they afterward learned had been plundered by Zog from sunken ships and brought to his castle by his allies, the sea devils. While the mermaids were examining and admiring their room, Cap'n Bill went to the peony room to see what it was like and found his quarters were very cozy and interesting. There were pictures on the wall, portraits of grave-looking porpoises, bashful seals, and smug and smiling walruses. Some of the wall panels were formed of mirrors and reflected clearly the interior of the room. Around the ceiling was a frieze of imitation peonies in silver, and the furniture was peony-shaped, the broad leaves being bent to form seats and couches. Beside a pretty dressing table hung a bell cord with a tassel at the end. Cap'n Bill did not know it was a bell cord, so he pulled it to see what would happen and was puzzled to find that nothing seemed to happen at all, the bell being too far away for him to hear it. Then he began looking at the treasures contained in this royal apartment and was much pleased with a golden statue of a mermaid that resembled Princess Clea in features. A silver flower vase upon a stand contained a bouquet of gorgeous peonies. "As natural as life," said Cap'n Bill, although he saw plainly that they must be made of metal. Trot came in just then to see how her dear friend was located. She entered from the doorway that connected the two rooms and said, "Isn't it pretty, Cap'n? And who'd ever think that awful creature Zog owned such a splendid castle and kept his prisoners in such lovely rooms?" "I once heard tell," said the sailor, "of a foreign people that sacrificed humans to please their pagan gods, and before they killed him outright, they stuffed the victims full of good things to eat, and dressed them in pretty clothes, and treated them like princes. That's why I don't take much comfort in our fine surroundings, Trot. This Zog is a pagan, if ever there was one, and he don't mean us any good. You can depend on it." "No," replied Trot soberly. "I'm sure he does not expect us to be happy here. But I'm going to fool him and have just as good a time as I can." As she spoke, they both turned around, an easy thing to do with a single flip of their flexible tails, and Cap'n Bill uttered a cry of surprise. Just across the room stood a perfect duplicate of himself. The round head with its bald top and scraggy whiskers, the sailor cap and shirt, the wide pantaloons, even the wooden leg. Each and every one were exact copies of those owned by Cap'n Bill. Even the expression in the light blue eyes was the same, and it was no wonder the old sailor started at his double in amazement. But the next minute he laughed and said, "Why, Trot, it's me reflected in a mirror. But at first I thought it was someone else." Trot was staring too. "Look, Cap'n," she whispered. "Look at the wooden leg." "Well, it's my wooden leg, ain't it?" he inquired. "If it is, it can't be a reflection in a mirror," she argued. "For you haven't got a wooden leg, you've got a fish's tail." The old sailor was so startled by this truth that he gave a great flop with his tail and upset his balance and made him keel a somersault in the water before he got right side up again. Then he found the other sailor man laughing at him and was horrified to find the reflection advancing toward them by stumping along on its wooden leg. "Keep away! Get out there!" yelled Cap'n Bill. "You're a ghost! The ghost of me that once was, and I can't bear the sight of you. Get out!"
"Did you ring just to tell me to get out?" said the other in a mild voice.
"I didn't ring," declared Cap'n Bill.
"You did. You pulled the bell cord," said the one-legged man. "Oh, did ringing that thing pull a bell?" inquired the captain, a little ashamed of his ignorance and reassured by hearing the ghost talk. "It surely did," was the reply, "and Sancho told me to answer your bell and look after you, so I'm looking after you." "I wish you wouldn't," protested Cap'n Bill. "I've got no use for ghostesses anyhow." The strange sailor began to chuckle at hearing this, and his chuckle was just like Cap'n Bill's chuckle, so full of merry humor that it usually made everyone laugh with him. "Who are you?" asked Trot, who was very curious and much surprised. "I'm Cap'n Joe," was the reply. "Cap'n Joe Wheedles, formerly of the brig Gladsome, and now a slave of Zog at the bottom of the sea."
"Joe Wheedles?" gasped Cap'n Bill, amazed. "Joe Wheedles of the Gladsome? Why, dash my eyes, mate, you must be my brother."
"Are you Bill Wheedles?" asked the other, and then he added, "But no, you can't be. Bill wasn't no mermaid. He were a human critter like myself."
"That's just what I am," said Cap'n Bill hastily. "I'm a human critter, too. I've just burred this fish tail to swim with while I'm visiting the mermaids."
"Well, well," said Cap'n Joe in astonishment. "Who'd have thought it? And who'd ever thought as I'd find my long-lost brother in Zog's enchanted castle, full 50 fathoms deep down in the wet, wet water?"
"Why, as for that," replied Cap'n Bill, "it's you as is the long-lost brother, not me. You and your ship disappeared many a year ago, and ain't never been heard of since. Why, as you see, I'm living on Earth yet."
"You don't look it to all appearances," remarked Cap'n Joe in a reflective tone of voice. "But I'll agree it's many a year since I saw the top of the water, and I'm not expecting to ever tramp on dry land again."
"Are you dead or drowned or what?" asked Cap'n Bill.
"Neither one nor t'other," was the answer. "But Zog gave me gills so I could live in the water like fishes do. And if I got on land, I couldn't breathe air any more than a fish out of water can. So I guess as long as I live, I'll have to stay down here."
"Do you like it?" asked Trot.
"Oh, I don't object much," said Cap'n Joe. "There ain't much excitement here, for we don't catch a flock of mermaids every day. But the work is easy and the ration's fair. I might have been worse off, you know, for when my brig was wrecked, I'd have gone to Davy Jones' locker if Zog hadn't happened to find me and made me a fish."
"You don't look as much like a fish as Cap'n Bill does," observed Trot.
Perhaps not," said Cap'n Joe. "But I notice Bill ain't got any gills, and breathes like you and the mermaids does. When he gets back to land, he'll have his two legs again and live in comfort breathing air."
"I won't have two legs," asserted Cap'n Bill. "For when I'm on Earth, I'm fitted with one wooden leg, just the same as you are, Joe."
"Oh, I hadn't heard of that, Bill, but I'm not surprised," replied Brother Joe. "Many a sailor gets to wear a wooden leg in time. Mine's hickory."
"So's mine," said Cap'n Bill with an air of pride. "I'm glad I've run across you, Joe, for I often wondered what become of you. Seems too bad, though, to have to spend all your life underwater."
"What's the odds?" asked Cap'n Joe. "I never could keep away from the water since I was a boy, and there's more dangers to be met floating on it than there is soaking in it. And one other thing pleases me when I think on it. I'm parted from my wife, a mighty good woman with a tongue like a two-edged sword, and my poor widder'll get the insurance money and live happily. As for me, Bill, I'm a good deal happier than I was when she kept scolding me from morning to night every minute I was home."
"Is Zog a kind master?" asked Trot.
"I can't say he's kind," replied Cap'n Joe, "for he's as near a devil as any living critter can be. He grumbles and growls in his soft voice all day and hates himself and everybody else. But I don't see much of him. There's so many of us slaves here that Zog don't pay much attention to us, and we have a pretty good time when the old magician is shut up in his den, as he mostly is."
"Could you help us to escape?" asked the child.
"Why, I don't know how," admitted Cap'n Joe.
There's magic all around us, and we slaves are never allowed to leave this great cave. I'll do what I can, of course, but Sacho is the boy to help you, if anyone can. That little chap knows a heap, I can tell you. So now, if nothing's more wanted, I'll get back to work.
What work do you do? Cap'n Bill asked.
I sew buttons on Zog's clothes. Every time he gets mad, he busts his buttons off, and I have to sew them on again. As he's mad most of the time, it keeps me busy.
I'll see you again, won't I, Joe? Said Cap'n Bill.
No reason why you shouldn't, if you manage to keep alive, said Cap'n Joe. But you mustn't forget, Bill, this Zog has his grip on you, and I've never known anything to escape him yet. Saying this, the old sailor began to stump toward the door, but tripped his foot against his wooden leg and gave a swift dive forward. He would have fallen flat had he not grabbed the drapery at the doorway and saved himself by holding fast to it with both hands. Even then he rolled and twisted so awkwardly before he could get upon his feet that Trot had to laugh outright at his antics.
"This hickory leg," said Cap'n Joe. "It's so blame light that it always wants to float. Agagru, the gold worker, has promised me a gold leg that will stay down, but he never has time to make it. You're mighty lucky, Bill, to have a merman's tail instead of legs."
"I guess I am," replied Cap'n Bill, "for in such a wet country the fishes have the best of it, but I ain't sure I'd like this sort of thing always."
"Think of the money you'd make in a sideshow," said Cap'n Joe with his funny chuckling laugh. Then he pounded his wooden leg against the hard floor and managed to hobble from the room without more accidents.
When he'd gone, Trot said, "Aren't you glad to find your brother again, Cap'n Bill?"
"Why, so," replied the sailor. "I don't know much about Joe, seeing as we haven't met before for many a long year. And all I remember about our boyhood days is that we fit and pulled hair most of the time. But what worries me most is Joe's looking so much like me, myself, wooden leg and all. Don't you think it's rather cheeky and unbrotherly, Trot?"
"Perhaps he can't help it," suggested the child, "and anyhow he'll never be able to live on land again."
"No," said Cap'n Bill with a sigh. "Joe's a fish now, and so he ain't likely to be took for me by one of our friends on the earth."